Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Thursday afternoon as the Blue Angels are about to fly over our fine city here in Nashville. So if you have the ability to go outside on this beautiful day, go check it out. In the next 15-minute window, they're going to be hitting a lot of spots here in the Middle Tennessee area. A guy that we've always enjoyed talking to over the years, Paul Finebaum, is on the line with us with SEC Network and ESPN. And, of course, you can hear his radio show on our airwaves every day, 4 hours in the afternoon. Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for doing this as always. I did want to tell you a couple days ago, got to check out your interview. I was listening to you. Nice interview with Sonny Vaccaro. Good job by him, man. He had some stories to tell, didn't he?
Yeah, no, you guys love interviews like this. You ask one question like, how you doing, Sonny? Have you seen the Michael Jordan doc? And 17 minutes later, he finally came up for air.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you were hungry, you probably weren't hungry when the interview was over.
No, I mean,
you could have had a meal.
I was just worried that we'd get a break-in. But, you know, he's a character. And then, long story short, he really discovered Michael Jordan and signed him to Nike. And then he and Michael had a falling out. So Michael decided, you're not in the documentary.
Yeah. What do you make of that? You're a guy that has been in this business a long time. Obviously, you have a lot of years logged, you know, in journalism. What do you make of a guy like Ken Burns and others have said, hey, you shouldn't have a documentary and have the host subject, you know, having the control that they do? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, let me see if I can digest this question. You're asking a guy who's employed and under contract to Disney and ESPN what I think of their biggest project and most successful entity. I'm kidding, of course. but, yeah, it's the way of the world. I understand if you're going to do a 10-part series on Michael Jordan, you need his cooperation. You can't do it without him. So yeah. When you do that, you give up certain things. But, you know, I grew up in journalism. I love journalism. But I also understand the other side of it. This is entertainment. And if the person at home didn't get all the warts, big deal. It's still an entertaining, brilliant piece of film. And, you know, Ken Burns is different. I've interviewed Ken, and, you know, Ken spends, he spends 5 years doing a project, and he does it exquisitely. But this was something that had to be done this way. If I call up Nick Saban and say, listen, I'd really like to spend some time with you, which I have done this, by the way, for ESPN, and I'm on a plane with him, which I was once, and he tells me something, and he said, but you can't put that on the air. What are you supposed to do? You've already worked hard to get the interview, so it's a catch-22. If you had asked me 30 years ago, I'd be blasting ESPN. But now, having worked here for 7 years, I think it's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Good answer. I guess I should have phrased it more towards you. You've had to deal with this over your career, and you've had a lot of big interviews, whether it was in radio/television or, like you said, for a story. And we've all had to deal with this if you've been in the business longer than 5 minutes of there is a particular subject or a person that you're going to get on, and there's something that everybody wants you to ask because there's obviously a big story surrounding that or it's controversial, and they've said, I'll do the interview, but you can't, but I won't talk about that. And everybody has to deal with, you know, do you take the interview anyways or do you say, I'm going to pass?
It's seriously the toughest thing about all of our jobs. And I have passed on interviews before because at heart I am still that rebel good journalist of the 80s, which I started on the campus of the University of Tennessee, and you know really didn't care. But I think today you have to be pragmatic and make good choices. I mean, if somebody tells me, listen, I'm going to give you, I mean, I'll talk about everything other than the fact I murdered my wife. I'm going to say, screw you. But, you know, I may cover up something. I mean, in the sense of, yeah, you can look past a minor thing. And in this case with Sonny Vaccaro, I don't even know what the issue was. Don't care. But it's always a dilemma. I mean, I've done stories, guys. I not to bore you with my history, but I I learned something about a coach once. He was having a relationship with a secretary, and I called him initially because I said, listen, this story's going around. He said, I can't talk to you about it, and I hung up. And he hung up. I'm like, going, I was trying to work through it, okay? At that point, I had no other choice. I ended up writing the story. He got fired. And it took that particular program years to recover, and quite frankly, they still haven't. But you just have to make those choices. And I wasn't going to look past it. I was trying to get his side of the story first, but too many people in our world try to shut down folks like us for asking difficult questions.
Paul Feinbaum on the line with us. We had Herm Edwards on the other day, and, you know, that was met with a lot of people questioning, a lot of eyebrows being raised whenever Arizona State hired him. He's been in television and ESPN for the last decade. Everybody had enjoyed his work, but it's like, really? And then North Carolina brings back Mac Brown, and, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of fanfare with that. Mac had been out of the game for a while. But look what these guys are doing in a short amount of time, Paul. I mean, Mac Brown right now has North Carolina football top three in recruiting. Herm Edwards has, you know, got Arizona State going the right direction. They won a bowl game last year, had the big win over Oregon on national television. What do you make of how those two guys have come back and had some success early on?
I think Herm's a little more surprising, and I was one of those who, like, said, I cannot believe this. But, you know, he's a great person, and I think that works. Young people listen to him. Mac Brown was always a really good coach. He made a couple of mistakes at Texas. It's a long story, but in a nutshell, he gambled, I think the guy's name was Gary Gilbert, as a quarterback. He was the number one player in the country. As a result of him, he ended up losing Johnny Manziel and Luck and Jameis Winston, RG3. And all these players came in succession. And because he had signed this one guy, they all said, no, I'm not going there. And it cost him his career at Texas. He was a guy who won a championship, nearly won another one. And what he's doing at North Carolina, he's taking a, I'm going to do it my way mentality, and players love it. And I used to work with Mac every Sunday morning at ESPN, and just the coolest guy you've ever seen. He didn't really have to have this job, but he will get North Carolina easily to an ACC championship game in a couple of years, probably pretty soon.
Talking to Paul Feinbaum here on the show, and Paul, we've had in the category of silver lining, I think just because of where everybody sits right now, the pace is so slow, we have had some great ability to have interviews and have some subjects open up. They're not pressed for time. They're in maybe a little bit of a reflective mindset, and we've really enjoyed some conversations. I'm sure you've had sort of the same experience here. Who are some of your favorite interviews that you've had in these last couple of months?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought, I mean, we have gone a little bit out of sports sometimes with some authors, but we had a guy I don't think I'd ever interviewed him until a couple weeks ago, but we had Bob Costas on, and we primarily talked about his old TV show where it was more of a general show late at night. It was late night. And, you know, he was talking right about interviewing former presidents and people like that. And it was – and Jack Nicholson. It was just unbelievable. And I have learned, because so many of these people are available – I'll tell you a quick story. I had Chris Fowler on a couple weeks ago, who hosts the Saturday Night Football and the former game day host, College Game Day. And, you know, we had done, like, two segments with him, and I felt like we had really pushed him to the limit. And finally – we were hitting like the 6:30 break, and I said, well, Chris, I mean, you guys do this all the time. I said, I know you're busy. So he said, Paul, I don't have anything to do. I can stay the rest of the show. I mean, and like, and you're not really prepared for that because, I mean, yeah, most people aren't that busy right now. So as tragic as this is, and I'll leave the political ideology up and down the dial, it has been an opportunity for talk show hosts like ours to talk to various people. One of my favorite interviews was, I think, the second week with a very proud Vanderbilt graduate, Willie Geist. I knew Mill. I came to Nashville last summer to spend some time. We did a documentary on him for SEC Network. But, I mean, he was just so much fun. And every time he's on,
All he wants to do is talk about Vanderbilt baseball and Vanderbilt basketball. So, I was trying to talk about, like, covering the pandemic, and he's bringing up Tim Corbin and the national championship last year. We've had a number of country star, music stars who I love to talk to because they're all football fans or baseball or basketball fans. So, yeah, you're right. It has been as bad as it has been, and it has certainly been something none of us have ever seen. It's been an opportunity.
I think, Paul, when Vanderbilt won the national championship in baseball this year, we just threw a shot in the dark. We were going to do the show. We did the show from over at the Hawk as the team was coming in from Omaha, and we just threw a net out to Willie Geist just to see if he would come on, and I think he answered us back with a yes, and I think 60 seconds or less. That's how much.
No, he's –
yeah.
He is – I mean, we went into Memorial Gymnasium. It was last June. And he told – I mean, we had a film crew, obviously, and he said, you know, I was a walk-on, and then they ended up using me on the scout team. And I said, Willie, there's no way. And he hit – I would say he hit four or five three-pointers out of about 10, 15 shots. I mean, he really is a great athlete.
Well, we had some fun with him, too. Yeah, we're talking to Paul Feinbaum. And so, Paul, another question for you as a host, you know, from host to host – how you're going about trying to filter, process all of the information we get with the uncertainty. For example, when a few schools come out maybe last week and say, we plan on having students come in the fall, and what does that mean for college football? And what if X amount of schools can play and Y amount of schools can't play? How are you going about trying to put this together for your show to try to get the best sense of it you can?
We start with information. We try to get people in newsmakers. Greg Sankey comes on every week, the SEC commissioner. We've reached out and have had almost every athletic director and every head football coach. We talk to other college commissioners, other athletic directors from around the country, television personalities. What I want is starting with information, neutral information, not political gobbledygook. And then, like we talked about a minute ago, some personalities and some entertainment. Our show, as you guys know, is very caller driven. So we do that. But the one thing I was told by an old friend of mine the first week, don't let politics ruin this show. It's too important. And I mean, everyone talks about, I mean, this, you hear it on the news. So this is the certainly the most important story since World War II. That is true. This is in the parlance of college football, which is where we are right now in the calendar, looking ahead, this is the biggest story in college football history. What I mean by that is we don't know what's going to happen. There are so many variables, and I am determined, and I know you guys are as well, to give solid information, not to play political gotcha games. And it's hard not to because I've lived every day of my life in the South. Although last year, after I think spending 62 days in the fall in New York City, I began to question that. But you have to give information as best you can. I had an epidemiologist on last night, one of the renowned people in the country, and he was giving some pretty harsh reality about the upcoming college football season. And the next thing you know on Twitter, I mean, he's being viciously attacked. That's fine. I respect everyone's opinion in this, and I don't know what the right answer is. But you have to listen to both sides is all I'm saying. And I think the people that will come out of this okay are those who did not use this as an opportunity to cheapen the product by appealing and by playing to the lowest common denominator to get ratings, to get Twitter followers, or to make brownie points with a certain segment of the population. It's too important.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum of the SEC Network, ESPN. You can hear his show at 2 o'clock Central Time on ESPN 94.9, our sister station. Paul, one thing that has been an ever-growing debate, I mean, it's been a debate for years, should there be a commissioner of college football? Should there be a central figure running college athletics or college basketball, what have you? And to me, this situation, albeit unprecedented, one that you couldn't plan for, you couldn't have a playbook, even if you tried, shows me that there needs to be more solidarity in college athletics, not just football, but basketball, and have, whether it's a committee or a central figure running things. How do you feel about that? Do you feel the same way, or do you feel differently?
I'm totally in agreement. Forget college basketball, because it's too complicated with hundreds of schools in the midst of the NCAA tournament. College football needs a commissioner, and it's, we're not talking about the secondary divisions. We're talking about Power Five, the top 50 or 60 schools, and it needs to be someone who can take control. We just don't need to round up the usual suspects like Mark Emmert, who's a former college president. That's not what we need. We need someone who can be in control and who can, play to the interests of those schools. And I think it's long time for the powers in sports to break away from the NCAA, because the NCAA is essentially the federal government. There are so many layers of bureaucracy, and I'm not siding on any political front here, but when you're running the federal government, you have to deal with everyone. And I don't mean to come off too elitist here, but in college football, you have to be elitist. Alabama is not the same as, with all due respect, Middle Tennessee. They're different interests, and you have to protect the interests of the Southeastern Conference and the ACC. Without getting them confused with programs that average have a much smaller budget and far fewer people that pay attention to them.
So a fair argument that Darren, my co-host, brought up last week when we were having this debate: the conferences right now, they have their commissioners. The SEC, Greg Sankey, he runs that conference. Are, if there is a central figure, if it's just for the Power Five, are they giving up their power as the head of their conferences to one commissioner of college football, or how do you see that working?
Well, ultimately, you're right. I mean, I'd love to hear the meeting if you got the commissioners of the five Power Fives and see if they could come up with a consensus. Right now, essentially, if you're going to go back to the 50s, 40s and 50s, when the mafia was running parts of the Northeast and other parts of the country, I mean, you had like the Don of the five families of New York, and they sat in a room in the back room of an Italian restaurant, and they decided, who got what. You get gambling, you get prostitution, you get drugs. I don't know if they could come up with a consensus, but we need that, because Mark Emmert doesn't care about college football. It's really not under his domain. And when he came out the other day and said this is what we have to do, I was laughing, because Greg Sankey has far more influence. John Swofford from the ACC, Bob Bowlesby, you just go down the list. So essentially, the people that make up college football are those five commissioners and Jack Swarbrick, who's the AD at Notre Dame. They really make all the decisions. They control the college football playoff, and Mark Emmert may get his own box at the college football playoff championship game, but he doesn't have anything to do with the process. He controls the eligibility, but not the process of picking a champion.
So you don't think they start on time, or do you?
Right now, I think we're literally right up against the deadline. And I know what everyone says, and you guys have heard it ad nauseum. But I mean, we're getting pretty close. If a decision isn't made in the next 6 weeks, I think it's going to be difficult to start on September 5th. I mean, I think they're technically a game or two. Notre Dame Navy on August 29th. I would say it's less likely that we start on time. I still think the season is in reasonably good shape, but I think the circumstances outside of college football may determine it, just like everything else that's going on. I had the governor of Ohio on the other day, Mike DeWine, who's become very popular because he's a straight shooter. And he said, I asked him, I said, is Ohio State going to play football this fall at the Horseshoe? He said, I don't know. And if anyone tells you they do know, they are making it up. And that, to me, sums up where we are right now with the college football season.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, have you watched any shows, anything outside of sports, Paul? Anything on Netflix?
I must tell you, I'm pretty boring. I am so, it's overload, but I really haven't watched a lot because it's, I watch television, obviously, but I have not, I have not gone Tiger King and binged on all the things that most of America is doing right now.
Okay. All right.
I do that during the football season.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the visit. Continue to be safe. Always good to talk to you, and we'll talk to you down the road.
It was really a pleasure, guys. Be well. Thanks.
All right, you too. That is Paul Finebaum, SEC Network and ESPN, his show today starting at 2 o'clock on ESPN 94.9. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.